Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God for our consideration this morning is taken from the 20th chapter of St. John, which has already been read. You may or may not remember where we were last year on Easter Sunday. Not here, not where you're supposed to be on Easter Sunday. Not good, not good. But we're here this year. Why? Why are we here this year? Why are you here this year today? We went to the Keys a couple winters ago. Whenever we go on a bike ride or a vacation, we like to visit the local library and used bookstores when they had those. We went to one town there in Florida that had a scuba shop, then went to the library, then got back in the car, missing the credit card. It was supposed to be, the credit card was, it wasn't there. It was dark, and because of gravity, we're looking on the ground between the library and the car. A stranger, who apparently lived close by, not in a house, asked, "What are you looking for?" Wanted to help us find it. A couple weeks ago on a Saturday, I went to use the log splitter. It's been under the cover for the winter, so I pulled the cover off, put the socket on the ball of the small, not real tractor, pull the support leg up. Where's that pin? That pin is called, I now know, a wire lock that holds the leg up was missing. It's supposed to be in that hole, but it wasn't there. Had a 5/16 inch, I needed a quarter inch, went to Tyson's. The guy pointed to the place on the shelf where it's supposed to be. Maybe come back. Monday, threw some food, including one egg, into my car. Left home, filled up at Sam's, hit the gym, fresh time, came to my Iowa house for breakfast. Where's that egg? Where's that egg? I put it right there, but it's not there. It's not where it's supposed to be. So how long do you look for an egg or a wire lock? And how many times can you check the same place again, wishing that thing was where it's supposed to be, but it's not? Where things are supposed to be organized and is part of whom we are, it gives order to life, helps us to keep track of things. I'm a place for everything and everything in its place kind of a guy. The key to the Ranger is on the keyboard, right next to the spare for the RAV4. In the refrigerator, the spare butter's there, the milk's over here. You put things on your computer in the cloud, put things in the place that they're supposed to be, so when you need them, you know right where to go. But what happens if I go to get the key for the Ranger and it's not there where it's supposed to be? Well, firstly, there's a little bit of confusion, right? John focuses on Mary Magdalene, but she was not alone. And Luke tells us that when the first visitors saw the stone rolled away, the tomb empty, they were perplexed. They were puzzled. They were confused. It's the feeling you get when the credit card or the egg or the key is not where it's supposed to be. And why not? And where is it? They're perplexed, puzzled. Dictionary definition, to be at a loss to explain something, like it's not there. What do you mean it's not there? What do you mean it's not there? It's supposed to be there. Where is Jesus? Supposed to be in the tomb. I saw it on Friday. I watched as they placed his dead body into that tomb. Then they sealed it and the guards came. If something isn't where it's supposed to be, and you can't find it, and you've looked, maybe more than once, after a while, maybe call out, "A little help, a little help." And Mary ran to find a little help. Perhaps Mary was multitasking, thinking as she ran, like you do when you're driving. By the time she reaches Peter and John, she had concluded that there was only one explanation for that body being not where it's supposed to be. They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him, and who are they? Who are they? The they who took the body. And we don't know where they have laid it. Who are they? Who would be incentivized? Who would gain something by removing the body of Jesus from where it's supposed to be, even as Mary speaks? The men who had been guarding the tomb so that the body would stay where it was supposed to be were reporting to their boss. And the guards reported that what they had witnessed. They felt the earth move under their feet. They saw angels, and they trembled in fear. Chief priests listened to that eyewitness account. Oh, and the body's gone. The body's not where it's supposed to be. They listened to those probably around 16 eyewitness accounts, and we hear of no variant testimony. They listened. And then they gave him money. Then they gave him money and instructed them, tell the people, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this comes to the governor's ear, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. Matthew, writing 20 years later, says that, quote, this story has been spread to this day, and it has. Story number one. Yes, he was dead, and he stayed dead. That's story number one. What happened to the body? You know those 12 men? Actually, 11, minus Judas. Those men he had selected to carry on his work when he was gone. Oh, you mean the ones who are holed up in that room because they were scared and all the doors and windows are closed and locked? You mean those guys took his body? So they what, came out of their hiding place? Did they overpower the guards or just kind of sneak past them? Roll the stone away? Maybe there was a secret back door or something like that. Well, there is no body. We don't have a body. So what other explanation could there be? What? Do you think that they, to whom Mary refers, who took the body, the enemies of Jesus? They had no incentive to steal his body. No, they needed that body to be in the tomb. That's where they wanted it to be, where it's supposed to be. Story number two, that's story number one. Story number two is he was never dead in the first place. So Peter and John ran the other way towards the tomb. John got there first. And no, he did not have a head start. I don't know what Peter's been telling you. John got there first, but it was Peter who went into the tomb to have a look. Then John went in and he gives an eyewitness account of what he saw. He goes into great detail about the neat placement of the linens. The evidence does not indicate a smash and grab body theft or a tomb invasion or anything like that. You know, most people, when they die, they stay dead. A few. Lazarus comes to mind. Know what it's like to die. And also they know what it means to come back to life. How that feels. And it's almost here like Jesus was vivified by the Father. Brought back from the dead. He tidies up a bit. And oh look, the angel has rolled the stone away. We will be reminded next week that Jesus is able to walk through walls. But probably on Easter Sunday morning, he just went out the front door. Maybe took a stroll. Life is good. We don't know if she ran. But Mary made her way back to the tomb. And now she's out crying. Outside crying, still likely trying to figure out. There just aren't many options, are there? Finally, she goes back to the place where he's supposed to be. Maybe I'll go inside and take a closer look. Again, nature abhors a vacuum, and two angels had occupied the vacant tomb. They asked her why she was crying, and she told them, I've heard these words before, because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have buried him." So she was confused, then ran for help, Peter and John. When John saw the empty tomb, he believed. He recalled the words of Jesus. When he had told them three times he was going to Jerusalem to be killed, they heard that. When Jesus three times concluded, then the resurrection, John gets it. He believes. He knows what happened here. Mary, not so much. So, how do you find Chuck Norris? You know, you don't find Chuck Norris. Chuck Norris finds you. And in that way, Jesus is like Chuck Norris. Mary, she's looking for Jesus in the place where he's supposed to be. She can't find him. And wherever he had been, he's now behind her. And she sees him, but she doesn't see him. She thinks it's the sexton who's supposed to take care of the cemetery. That's who was supposed to be there. Maybe he is the they who have taken his body, and she doesn't know where they have laid it. And he spoke her name, and it was in the hearing of her name, from his voice. We recognize voices, don't we? If you used to listen to Jim Fisher, then you know that voice. That's his radio voice, the one he used to use on the radio. When you talk to him in person, it's a different voice. It includes impeccable grammar, and he never uses the word eat. Children know the voice of the mother and father, and they know tone as well. Same thing for spouses and old friends. Of himself, the good shepherd said, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. So Mary had put her Lord here on Friday night. On Sunday morning, when she came back and looked in the place that he was supposed to be, he was gone. And you don't find Jesus. Jesus finds you. Earlier, no apostle had volunteered to be an apostle. Jesus found them. Later this same day on the road to Emmaus, the disciples who talked to him don't find him. He finds them. And then he has that fun conversation with them about himself. Peter and John came out of that locked room, and they looked for Jesus and did not find him. And they returned. And after that detour to Emmaus, later on that night, he found them in that locked room. And that's when he walked through the walls. There's only one reason why Jesus would tell Mary to stop holding on to him. I think I speak for a lot of us when I say we are not really huggers. And I deliberately avoid hugs. It's the way things are. But people like Mary and Jesus did that all the time. So review. Friday, she watched the crucifixion, then the proper burial, then nothing. Sunday morning, out to the tomb, the body was gone. The body was gone, and that's a big deal even today. And then she hears him, then she sees him, then she calls him her bona fide teacher. He tells her to not hold on to him because he's soon going to be leaving in 40 days, the ascension. And then he speaks of their common God, their common Father, and that hearing with her ears, seeing with her eyes, she now understands. Jesus is alive. And he's outside of the tomb, talking to her. He is right where he's supposed to be. Me, I still haven't found the wire lock. Last time I checked, and of course I checked again, it was not where it was supposed to be. And the egg. There may be an egg somewhere in my car, or not. I'll keep you posted on that. We did find the credit card that day without the assistance of the man who lived around there, but probably not in the house. It was between the passenger seat and the console. We now call that place the credit card holder. And we found out that it can also be used as a phone holder. Mystery solved. And that felt good to discover that place to answer that question. Where's that credit card? It's not where it's supposed to be. And Mary felt that. And she declares, I have seen the Lord, and then related her conversation to other people. Turns out, yeah, on that Sunday morning, Jesus was exactly where he's supposed to be, outside the tomb. That's the thing about Jesus. He's always where he's supposed to be. On Friday, he was right where he was supposed to be on the cross. Later that day, his lifeless body was supposed to be placed into that cold tomb, and it was. And on Easter Sunday, he was supposed to rise from the dead. Mary and the rest were supposed to see him outside of the tomb, not inside of the tomb. And from here, he's in heaven now, where he's supposed to be, and he's coming back at a time known only by the Father, when he's supposed to. And on that day, maybe before that, we'll go to heaven in the place where we're supposed to be. Until then, hear and recognize the voice of the resurrected Jesus here. Eat his body, drink his blood here, where he's supposed to be. So we weren't here a year ago, but we're here today, and that's a good thing. So why? Why are you here today? Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.